Amen. Thank you, Jimmy and Kim. As Jimmy just said, when your whole world falls to pieces, you can't build it back. What are you going to do? In fact, let me equip you tonight. Imagine this week you're going to have a conversation. I'm assuming that people are talking about the hurricane and all the effects of it where you are. I know we are. What do we say to them? What word do we have to speak to them when the whole world falls apart? Some people, their world hasn't fallen apart. Everyone else's has. But they're in anxiety and just anxious about everything because they're just reading all the reports about it, right? But what would you do? Just imagine having this conversation with someone, asking someone, what would you do if your whole world fell to pieces? That should be an opportunity this week for us to speak truth into people's lives. If we seize that moment or ask them, you know, have you ever thought about that? What would you do if that hurricane had just been diverted about, I don't know, 100 miles east and sat over the top of us for a good 24 hours and 30 inches of rain had fallen, a year's worth of rain in one day? Well, and we had experienced all of that. What would you do? Where would you turn? Where would you go? I mean, we can have this conversation with people. It's a great opportunity for us to speak into people's lives. And for you and I to have an answer, to be ready to give a reason why we would trust in the Lord and how we would express our faith and rest in Him. You know, there's a psalm over in Psalm 46. I quoted it earlier, and Jimmy just sang about it. When your whole world falls to pieces. Moments where it feels as though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. The waters roaring and troubled. Mountains shaking with swelling. Imagine an earthquake for those in California. I mean, they're already, you know, there's already these meteorologists are saying now, you know, there's another one going to hit Florida. And it's going to go right across the Florida state here, you know, within the few days probably. And of course, no one knows the weather but God. But I mean, that's the only job. You can be wrong all the time and still have a job. Something's wrong with that, personally, as a meteorologist. You know what I'm saying? Well, we give it our best guess, right? Yeah. But we'll see you tomorrow on the news. But what would you do? What are we going to say? Because someone's going to say, well, here comes another one. And that's a moment for us to look at them and say, well, what would you do? And to ask them, could you be still in the midst of that and know that He's still God? Because that's what the psalmist says that we should be able to do. Now, this isn't a psalm of David. It's a song of the psalms of sons of Korah. It's a song that was written which highlights that there is a God, Jehovah Shammah, the God who is always near, who's always present. And that should be a cause for stability for us in the midst of trial. I mean, He's a good shepherd, amen? Does He ever leave His sheep? No. He's not a hireling. He knows His sheep by name. He knows every detail about His sheep. How many hairs are on our head? Our anxious thoughts? The words even before we speak them? I mean, such knowledge should be too awesome for us. That He knows even the concerns that we have when the trials of life come. And as a nation experiences what it's experiencing, I even stop right now and I think about the nation Israel, God's own people. I mean, the hurricanes, you know, I mean, we realize there's a war going on multiple fronts in Israel. I stop and think about them. They're about to have the anniversary of October the 7th, right? What happened a year ago. And they're already on alert for what could happen next. I mean, missiles coming in from Iran. I mean, just stop and think about that chaos for those people. They run and hide in bomb shelters, right, to get through the night. Because they don't know if one of those missiles is going to get through the Iron Dome and hit them. I mean, how do God's people, God's covenant people, right, the ones He promised Himself to, how do they find stability in the midst of chaos? I mean, it's all over the world. We're the ones that are supposed to have the answer. We're the ones that are supposed to say, you know what? I know how to be still and know that He's God. I've learned that. I've walked by faith. I've trusted in Him. I've rested in Him. I've tried Him. He's proven Himself time and time again. And we have that time right now to speak into people's lives and to share that with them. the psalmist talks about it in Psalm 46. And what's amazing is there's a refrain that's repeated twice in verse 7 and verse 11 that just reminds us that the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge. I mean, when you stop and think about that, the Lord of hosts, that's the Almighty God. In other words, nothing is too difficult for Him. He's the Almighty God, the God of angels' armies, okay? He's fighting the battles too, beloved. And here's the good news. He wins, right? He always wins. Even when it appears that he's lost. He played a rope-a-dope with Satan, didn't he? Ha-ha. And he won. Satan thought he had won, but no, that was Satan's defeat right there. That's our God. The God of angels' armies. But he's also the God of Jacob. Who is Jacob? Heel-grabbing, scheming, conniving, trying to manipulate, make things work out to his own as the way he wants them, instead of resting and trusting in the promises that were his even before he was born. Pretty amazing. All those blessings were promised to him. The older will serve the younger. The blessing was on him, and yet, no. He wanted to manipulate things and work things out to make it happen rather than resting and trusting in God. That God, the Almighty One, that God, the covenant-keeping one, the one, praise God, he makes a promise and he keeps it, amen? I mean, when you stop and just think about the power of God, the promises of God, his presence, I mean, all these things should be reason for us to be still and know that he is God. And that he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. We can stand on this word tonight and bring it to others and share it with them and say, listen, if you're really anxious about this, could I give you a word so that you could be still, have peace, and be at rest, knowing who God is and what he's able to do? The psalmist says it real simply. You know, God is our refuge. The God of Jacob, that he mentions later in the psalm twice, is our refuge. He's our rock. He's our haven. He's our help. He's our hope. He's the one we run to for that protection all around us. Praise God. I love how David would say that over in Psalm 139 when he talks about God's refuge. Because for a moment when he reflected on the nature of God and God knowing everything about him and God being everywhere he went, he said, listen, it's hard to think. No matter where I go, there your hand is. It encompasses me. Your God's hands encompassing, protecting, shielding. I mean, to know no matter what storm we go through, to be safe in the palm of his hands, secure there, safe there. He's our refuge, the one we run to. I mean, the name of the Lord, the wise man said, is what? It's a strong tower. The righteous ones, they run to it and they are saved. I mean, listen, when we're in trouble, we run to the name of the Lord, that unchanging name, consistent, faithful through all the ages, consistent, faithful through every day of your life and my life. One that, frankly, we can even tell our children and grandchildren and grandchildren because he isn't going to change. That name, that unchanging name, is a strong tower, a place to run to. Are you running to it right now? Are we inviting others to run to it right now? Because he's there, he's near, he's not far. He's present. The Lord of hosts is with us. We're not out on our own. Praise God. He's right here, right now. He's our refuge. He's our strength. I mean, he is the Lord of hosts, the almighty warrior God, with all the power. The one who gives it. You say, well, Pastor, I feel very weak. I feel very susceptible to just, I don't know what I'm going to go through. And That's great. That's where you need to be. We need to be weak. You know why? His strength is perfected in weakness, the Apostle Paul would say. My major professor wrote his dissertation on one Greek word, asthenia, in the Greek. You say, well, what does that mean? It means weakness. How Paul was the apostle of weakness and how you and I need to learn as disciples to be disciples of weakness, to realize that's when God manifests his greatness, his glory. when little broken vessels like you and me, impotent vessels that he chooses to work in and through to demonstrate his great power. And he wants to do that each and every day. See, the moment we're in trouble is when we think we got it. We can handle this. Can I just blow your mind for a minute? I mean, Pastor Scott shared with us today. It's just fascinating to me how God moves. Already, you know, I mean, it's one thing to get 12,000 pounds of chicken. That's a lot of chicken. And then it's another thing for them to say, well, we'll just give you 12,000 more. And then to get a call today that, no, someone else is going to send us a tractor load of meat from Philadelphia or from Pennsylvania. Well, I don't even know. Well, we're going to be feeding a lot of people, evidently. Because we said we would. We embraced the opportunity. You know what God says? Watch this. Watch me just watch my power at work. Through just weak vessels. And say, here I am. Pour in me, pour out of me, use me however you want. That's awesome. This is the journey of faith. And to see God work. I mean, our sufficiency is not in ourselves. In the crisis, in the trial, in the storm, we run to him. He's the tower, the shield around us. He's the power within us, the strength. He's our strength. And praise God, you know what? He's never limited. You know, there's always enough of him for all of us and then some, right? So if you need strength and your neighbor needs strength and I need strength, he's got all that and then some. Praise the Lord. Problem is we don't ask for it, right? We rely on our own strength. But that's who he is. Our refuge and our strength. A very present help in tight places, times of trouble. And there's a lot of people right now going through it. Doesn't matter if it's in Western North Carolina or if it's over in the Middle East. It doesn't matter if it's at your home right now. The promise of God is that he is always near and not far. Doesn't that just make sense? His name's Emmanuel. And what does that mean? God with us. He's always with us. And yet here's the amazing thing. Not only is that stability for you and me present, and not only is that offer right here for us now so that we don't have to be afraid. Therefore, because of that truth, therefore we will not fear. I really don't care what the government says and what the government does. I'm not afraid of them. I fear God. Can I just be frank with you? I know whose I belong to, whose I am. All right? And you need to know that too, especially because we ain't got a clue what's coming on the horizon, but it don't look good. The prudent man, the proverb says twice, sees the evil and hides himself. He takes the proper precautions and knows there ain't something good a coming. The naive, they just enter on in headlong and suffer accordingly. Listen, we're aware what's happening if you're in tune and you need to be alert and attentive. But our faith is not in our own abilities. We don't listen, if we'd gone hidden in the mountains, I mean, my goodness, you done seen what can happen there. We run to the tower, the strong tower of the name of our Lord. So there's no reason to be afraid right now in the midst of the storm. He knows the waves by name, amen? He can speak and tell the wind, stop, cease. That's our God. Therefore, I mean, you know, even these are pretty dire situations. If the earth moves, the mountain slides into the sea. If the storm, the hurricane turns up the sea and the waters are troubled, they're frothing, you know, you just imagine. They're turning over and over. The mountains shake with swelling. You can just imagine whether it's out there in California, some of them trying to figure out all the seismic activity under some of those mountains right now and all that's happening. Don't be surprised if one of them doesn't blow one day, right? They didn't think Mount St. Helens would ever do that. Boom, that did that. 1980s. And even if it does, you know what? God's on his throne. That's what the verse says next. You see, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And here's what I underlined in my Bible. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Beloved, he's on his throne. That city in heaven, Zion, is not moved. And that's what gives us assurance that our life, listen, we can find stability here and not be moved. We can be still because no one's going to move him off that throne. No matter how hard they may try. Satan tried that once, a little battle in heaven. God said, I don't think so, and swept him away with one third of the angels that followed after him and kicked him out. No one's moving him off his throne. And here's the good news with that. We can go to that throne and appeal to it at any time and every time and cry out, God, we need you. God, we need your help. Just as he's in the midst of her and not moved, that was the promise in verse 1. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help for us here in times of trouble. Transcendent, holy, amazing, so high and lofty and yet imminent among us, present with us. Man, what God is there like that? I mean, the nations rage, the kingdoms are moved. He just utters his voice and the earth melts. I mean, I stop and think, you know, sometimes, how does that little nation Israel survive all those attacks and all that? I mean, how do they do that? I mean, they got all the nations around them, shaking their fists at them, threatening them, hurling, lobbing, you know, a couple hundred missiles every night, it seems like, right? And yet here this little nation is, they're raging, the kingdom, but they still, right there they are, the testimony of the faithfulness of God. The testimony, listen, he's going to send his son to reign and rule right there in Jerusalem and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. That's why I love the invitation. Hey, come behold the works of the Lord, who's made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Our God is a mighty warrior God. Church, we don't need to be Beetle Bailey, AWOL right now. We need to be engaged with our commander-in-chief because he's assured us victory. And we can face whatever the world may throw at us and the devil. You know why? Because we are more than conquerors through Christ who died for us. And greater is he who's in us than the one that's in the world. And who's in us? Well, it says right here, God is our refuge and our strength. He's the power within us. He's given us his spirit. The Spirit's God, by the way. The Spirit brooded over the waters when he made this whole creation. That power is within us. And we need to realize it sometime. And we realize it when we say, I don't have it within me. God, I need you. And he's right there, waiting for us to just mouth that simple prayer. God, I need you. He could speak a word. He will speak a word, by the way, there in Armageddon, the mountain of Megiddo. He'll speak a word and he will just slay those armies one day. They will melt. Just one word from him. That's how powerful he is. He can do it right now. He can do it at any moment. Sometimes I wonder, I see how he defends Israel and the things that happen, and you just say, how do they do that? Well, God has made a promise to his people. And so this is what the summation is. You can be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth! Exclamation point. He will. And you know what? It's a reason for us to praise him, to magnify his name, to not be ashamed to declare these things to a world around us right now who are anxious. I mean, some of them, you just imagine, they're wringing their hands. They don't know how, they don't even know what they're going to do tomorrow. Well, but this is when we speak into their lives. Some of them are so twisted and so anxious and they're pacing to know, listen, you know how you can beat the fears of anxiety? Be still, just sit down, listen, and get God's perspective on it. Look at the situation from God's perspective. God, what do you see? God, what do you say about the situation? God, what is it that I should hear you say about this situation so that I can just be and rest and know the one that's around me, protecting me, to know the one who's within me, my strength, know the one that's my very present help. And when you do, then you can sing a song of praise, as the sons of Korah encourage us to do. God's the guardian of his people and the conqueror of the nations. And beloved, he will win. Rest on it. And rest on it tonight. I want to invite you to bow your heads with me and pray tonight. Just a meditation for us to hopefully share this week. Psalm 46, hopefully, listen, when someone, just think about it now, someone you're going to see, maybe you had that conversation this week and you said, I don't know what I would say to them. I want you to pray for that individual right now. Or maybe it's yourself, you're anxious about this, that, and the other, and that you have no control over, but there's a God who does have control of all of those things because he's on his throne in heaven, there in the holy place. And that city's not moved. His throne's not moved. And he shall help at just the break of dawn. So, Father, you're our divine helper, our sustainer, the one who strengthens us, the one that gives us stability in times of chaos. You're the God who simply speaks and brings victory. And so, Lord, would you speak a word for us in the battles we face, Lord? May we learn to rest and trust in you. God, to a world around us, Lord, here in our own community, Lord, and opportunities you're going to give us, Lord, may we point them to you, the God of the storm, the God who's in control, even in the midst of chaos, and where people can find stability for their lives. Lord, that stability is a solid rock. His name is Jesus. He's the cornerstone that we need to build our lives upon. And Father, may we be faithful to represent him and share him with others about the stability we found when we trusted in him. And Lord, thank you that you drew our boundaries for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, that we get to see your hand move in awesome, powerful ways. Give us eyes of faith, Lord, to see and believe and behold the great works of our God. And may we be faithful to testify of it to our children and grandchildren, Lord, and to this world. We give you praise and honor and ask all these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen.